your heart racing. I'm not sure what will. Good morning, CCW. Hey, I want to share a secret with you guys this morning. We're planting a church next year. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. We've been talking about it for 3 weeks, but we are. We want to be obedient to what God is doing around our community. So if you're new with this, if this is your first time, welcome to CCW. We're glad you guys are here, but we're in the process of planting a church, like I just mentioned, because there's a need. And so how this started was a little over 10 years ago when the eldership of this church was sitting around discussing building this building. They made a commitment that no longer were we going to build bigger and bigger buildings. We were going to learn how to go into the community. And why we decided to do that is because Jesus said to. His Great Commission, if you've been around here longer than 4 seconds, you know what our Great Commission is, right? We know what our mission statement is. It's God's Great Commission, where Jesus, upon going back into heaven, some of his last words he ever said was this. He came to them and said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go." Into how many nations? All of them. And here we are, one of those nations, because some guys took this command seriously. Go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And so we take that command serious. And we preached on this. We talk about it. It's in all of our foundations classes. Chances are, like I said, if you've been around here, you've heard this. So we know what our mission is. It is to go and reach places that there's a need for Jesus Christ. But I want to focus on the last part of this commission here. This is the beautiful part. God does not ask us to go it alone. He is with us, and he finishes his statement with, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so that to me is encouraging. And so when God asks us to do crazy things like plant a church, guys, you got to know we don't do it alone. We're going to talk about that today a little bit because we need to be assured that God goes with us. In fact, he's already in tomorrow preparing the way, making it happen. And we believe that. And so we started this series 2 weeks ago, and Joe talked a little bit about a guy named Abraham. Remember that? And when God went to Abraham and said, "Hey, gather up your family and go. I'm going to take you to a new place, a mysterious land," Abraham just said yes. It was a hard yes, right? I mean, he just did it. He did it as he was told by God. And for that, God rewarded him. And we know through that lineage all the way down to a guy named Jesus, which is the main reason why we sit here today. Last week, Jeff talked about a guy named Jonah. You remember that? When God went to Jonah because he had a heart for a city called Nineveh, Jonah was a hard no, wasn't he? He got a command from God and said, "I'm going the very opposite way, and then I'm going to get on a boat and see if I can get any further away." And he touched on this last week, and I appreciate this story because Jonah, when he gets on this boat, Scripture says that all these people were worshiping their own gods. And then once the storm comes upon the boat and they throw Jonah over and God calms that storm, it says that because of the majesty and the power of God, all these people now started worshiping the one true God. And so if you're sitting here today and you've had a misstep along the way, if you've been disobedient to God, can I tell you, based on Scripture that we see here, God can use even those missteps to do beautiful kingdom work, great things in your life. And so we know that Jonah went ahead and preached to the great city of Nineveh, and they were repentant. So God is always at work in your yeses and your noes. And so today I want to look at a guy who had a weird maybe, who wrestled with God, who kind of bartered with him. His name was Moses. And do you guys know what Moses did? I love to ask people like about the stories in the Bible, especially kids. And I ask, you know, tell me about Moses. And they say, "Oh, he's the guy that led the Israelites out of Egypt and part of the Red Sea." And in both of those cases, you are incorrect, because God did those things and he used Moses to do it. And I believe that God is going to plant a church for us, and he's going to use us to do it. And he wants you to be part of it, part of the situation. He wants you to be partners with him in this. And so as we look at the story of Moses today, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 2, and I'll let you guys get there, but we will have the words on the board. But it is go time. It is time to go, and God is already working it out. So in Exodus chapter 2, if you guys get there, we'll have the words up there on the screen, I think. We're going to start at the end of this in verse 23, but I kind of want to catch you up real quick about Moses' life. And so Moses was born in Egypt. He was an Israelite. And the Israelites at this point in time are slaves to Egypt. You see, 400 years ago when they were invited in, they were in partner. They were guests. They had their own chunk of land and they were welcome there. But you know what happens over time? People forget, right? When the new guy in charge takes over, he doesn't maybe love the Israelites like the last guy did. And then when the new guy comes along and the new guy, so what happens is over time that relationship gets watered down. And in fact, what happened was the Egyptians looked at the Israelites and said, they're reproducing too fast. Like they're gaining and they're going to outnumber us. And so they went to the Israelite midwives and said, what happens now because you're gaining in number too fast is we need you to kill all the male children that are born so that you won't reproduce. That's a tough pill to swallow, right? And so Moses' mom had him and said, he's a fine man and I can't do this. And so she hides him, right, in a little basket made of papyrus and wrapped in tar, and she hides him in the Nile River, right, among some straw and some reeds. And so Pharaoh's daughter comes out and finds him, and I got to kind of catch this story up quick, but she falls in love with him, right? And so a little bit down the road, she takes him in as her own son, and so Moses has got it made, right? He's in good shape. He's in Pharaoh's house. He's got some comfort there. Things are good. But Moses didn't forget who he was. And he had a heart like God's. So one day he comes along and he sees an Egyptian beating an Israelite slave. And he looks around and sees that nobody's there. And so he kills the Egyptian and buries him in the sand because he heard the cry of somebody in need. Problem with that is word gets around and Pharaoh finds out. And so Moses has got to get out of town. So he flees to a city called Midian, where once again, its mercy spirit goes into action. He sees some women at a well trying to get some water, and some shepherds come and shoo them away. And Moses springs into action and grabs some water and waters the flock. Turns out these women, their father was a priest. And so that priest actually has favor on Moses and actually gives one of his daughters to marry Moses. Once again, Moses doing pretty good, right? Things are comfortable for him. But here's where God shows up on the scene, and I believe he picks Moses because of Moses' spirit, Moses' heart for God's people. And I can tell you today, I believe that's why God has picked you, CCW, because you have a heart for his people. And I believe that's why we're being called to go. And so catch up with me here in chapter 2, verse 23, right there at the end of chapter 2. And it says, during that long period, the period I just mentioned, where over 400 years here, Israelites are in more trouble than they once were. It says, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. And their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and had concern for them. He was concerned about them. I believe God is looking around our community, the ones around us, and he has concern for them. Weird thing is, God decides to show up to this guy named Moses through a bush that's on fire, but it's not consuming itself. It's just on fire, and so Moses goes over to have a look, and God says, Moses, Moses. Yes, Lord, I'm Moses. He says, take off your sandals. You're on holy ground here. The actual presence of God in some form comes to earth. And so much so that Moses had to hide his face to not look. And so I want you to picture yourselves there this morning. Let's just say God comes today, and the drums are on fire. Sorry, Jesse. But they're not being consumed. And he's talking to you. CCW. CCW. Yeah, that's us. Listen, take off your sandals. You're on holy ground. Listen to this. And so down to verse 7 of chapter 3. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the land, from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land and into a good and spacious land. He says, flowing with milk and honey. God is going to deliver. And Moses has got to be like, great, I love that. Let's do it. God, you're in charge. Do it. Make those things happen. And then verse 9, God says, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, Moses at this point has got to be like, hooray, God, go, God, yeah, get them. And then God says, I'm sending you. And he's got to be like, whoa, wait a second, God, me? And then here's where the bartering happens. This is where Moses starts pleading his case. And some questions he has for God are legitimate. They're the same ones we have today. And so let's go over a couple of these. Verse 11 says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? And so we can ask ourselves that same question. Who are we? Let me tell you something. If you're baptized into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're a son of the living God, and he will not let you fail. That is who we are. But alone, we, apart from God, we don't have any hope. And if you're sitting there today and you're not guaranteed, you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, I would love to talk to you after today. I'd love to spend some time with you. I'll be right here on this pew. And we talk about that because that's decision one. What happened with Go Churches down the road is secondary to your salvation. Where are you going to spend eternity? Because I'd love to spend it with you, for sure. Verse 12, God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. You guys know that God is already in the next mountain we're going to be, and he will be with us in this. And it's scary, I get it. And when God calls you to do something, the first response in many cases is, whoa, who am I? Moses has another great question here in verse 13. Moses says to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? This is a great question. Who's sending me? Who is sending you? We know who's sending us. And I love the response that God's got. But before we get there, you got to know that Moses just fled a land because he killed somebody and they're after him. So he's already nervous about this situation. And now he's being asked to go back. It's a rough way to go. But God answers in a way that I would wish I could preach on this for like four straight weeks. But this answer he gives Moses is crazy. This is awesome an answer. He says, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. That is big stuff. Remember, in Egypt, they worship many gods. They have gods of fertility and water and fire and all these things. They got gods for everything. And God is saying to Moses, I'm bigger than all those things. I am. You don't even need to place a name on me. I am is sending you. And let me tell you something here today, guys. I am is sending us to that next place. Because God is the same yesterday and today, and he will be tomorrow when we get to where we're going. I am is sending us. And I believe he is powerful enough to do it. God also says to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. They know those names. They know their history. They know that God is sending me. That means something. And that same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the one that's going to ask us to do a new special thing. Let's not tell him no right away. We know who you are. You are special in God's eyes. We know who's sending us. Let's look at the next objection. By the way, God lays this plan out for Moses. He actually tells him all that's going to happen in his meeting with the Israelite elders and everything. But chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answers, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and they say the Lord did not appear to you? Let me be honest with you guys. Where we're going, people will not believe us because there are people in this neighborhood who don't believe us. And we don't know where we're going yet. But there will be some that don't believe us, but those that do. Yeah, I get excited about that. The ones that are going to believe us. The ones that know who sent us. The ones that know who we get to be. That God, I'm excited about that God. I'm excited about the mission that he has for us. And so Moses has got some more objections. How will they believe me, right? So God answers this question. He says, listen, take that staff you have and throw it on the ground. And when it does, it becomes a snake, right? And then God says, grab it by the tail. And so Moses, the guy that's fearful to go talk to his own people, and the Israelites, actually grabs a snake's tail, which is weird to me. But then it becomes a staff again. And then God says, put your hand inside your cloak. And when he did, and he pulled it out, it was leprous, right? It had like a skin condition. And then God says, put it back in. And when he does and pulls it back out, it's healed. And so God has given him some signs that he can bring. This God, the God that can do those miracles. And then he says, grab some water from the Nile and throw it on the ground, and it will become blood if all those other tricks don't work. Overcoming Moses' objections. So in verse 10, Moses says to the Lord, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. I'm not talented enough is what I'm hearing Moses say. And let me ask you a question. Are you talented enough to go to a Go Church on your own? And the answer is no. We don't carry enough talent, but in Christ, all things are possible. And that's who we're bringing. That's whose power is sending us, not ours. I wrestle with God every time I preach. I say, God, why do you put me on this stage? I'm not eloquent of speech like Moses. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a preacher. And God's answer to me every single time is this. I know you're not, Pat, but I am. Just be obedient. Just be faithful. I will provide the words. I will speak for you and tell you what to do. And so if you don't like today's sermon, blame God. He is speaking. God overcomes our objections, and where we're not talented, he is. And let me tell you something. You do have talents given to you by God, and he expects you to use them for kingdom work. And where you're weak, look around the room because somebody else is strong there. And God is in the middle of painting that picture for you. And where you're strong, somebody else is weak, and we use each other. That's how God puts together his talent. He's not asking us to do this alone. The Lord said to him in verse 11, who gave man his mouth, right? Who gave him his mouth in the first place? Who makes the deaf or mute? Who gives the sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. And so if you're nervous about what talents you have when you get there, God will overcome that. God is talented enough for all of us, trust me. He is way more talented than I am, and I'm glad he's the one preaching today. Verse 13, but Moses said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. Now, this is dangerous. God has overcome the objections. Everything Moses threw at him, God overcame. Got an answer for it. And when Moses makes this plea to just please send somebody else, I prayed on this all week, and I can only think of two reasons why we just tell God an absolute no. I'm fearful, I'm scared, or I'm comfortable. Both of those things are dangerous. But I get that, aren't you? When I say, let's go plant a church, you've got to have some of that in you. I am. I'm fearful of the unknown. I don't know. What's God going to do? It doesn't make sense. And the beautiful thing is, every time I open God's word, nothing makes sense. When God says to a man, Abraham, get up all your family and go, and I'll show you where to go, that just doesn't make sense. And when God goes to a man and says, build a boat big enough to hold two kinds of every animal, because rain's coming to a place that's never rained before, that doesn't make sense. And when God says, get out of your comfort zone here and I'm taking you to a new place with the talents that I've given you, that doesn't make sense when you use the world's logic. The beauty of that is we don't live under the world's logic. God does miraculous things that we have to lean on him for, and that's why he's called God. And it's fearful, but I want to follow that God. But I am scared, and I am comfortable. I love y'all. My best friends are in this room. Why would I not want to come here every Sunday and Wednesday night and every time there's anything going on around here? I love to be with you guys. But man, that comfort can get in the way of what God's doing. Besides, one day we're going to spend eternity with each other anyway, right? That'll be a big party. But man, God has gifted us in ways we can't even imagine. He wants us to use it. And more importantly, he wants to use you with it. God wants to call you partner. That is big stuff. Verse 14, this is what gets God a little angry here. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. Listen to this. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. God's a little angry with Moses at this point, but he's already worked out that last objection. There's a man who can speak already on the way to you. Can I tell you where we're going? There's already talented people on the way, and they may be in this room and they may be outside of this room. But God has overcome that objection too. He's already in our tomorrows figuring this all out, working on that next mountain where we'll serve God and bring new people to Christ, and I'm excited about that. And in 16, he finishes this up. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs. Finally, just go. And Moses does. And then we get to read about all the things that Moses does in his life or has God do through him. That to me is a neat story. And I'd love to talk more about Moses' story, but let me ask you the same questions that Moses asks God. Who am I to plant a church? We discussed that. You're the apple of God's eye. And he wants to do great things with you, every one of you. And who sent me? We know who sent us. The Lord, the God over Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and that great I am who also says, call me dad, is sending you. And we're not going to go alone. What if they don't believe me? But what if they do? And I know that they will. We bring a message that's only great news to a world that only hears bad news. What if I'm not talented enough? Once again, on your own, you're not. But collectively in this room, there's a lot of talent. When we send Jesus ahead of us, great things will happen. And then lastly, just send somebody else. And I challenge you to think, once again, the same as Moses, that can only be due to fear or comfort. And which one of them is getting in the way? Like was mentioned last week, when Dave Pardee used to say, what are you holding on to? More on him in just a second. But in your bulletins, there's an insert. I want to ask you a question. On one side of this bullet, this insert, is a map of Hernando County. You can see Citrus just to the north and Pasco just to the south and Sumter over there to the east. I want you to put a star where you live. But more importantly, I want you to look around this map. You look to the north wherever Citrus is and Pasco. Don't you know communities around you that are broken, that are crying out? And so my question is, do you hear their cry? We're coming up on 200,000 people in this county. There's 150,000 in Citrus, roughly. 500-ish thousand in Pasco and Sumter to the east. There's roughly 1 million people in this neighborhood. What do you think the odds are that all 1 million people right now are sitting in a building worshiping a risen Savior right now? My guess is probably way less than 25% of that, probably worse. So do you hear him crying? Do you hear him? Because be careful, when you hear God, when you have a heart for God and you have a heart for his people, he will use you. He will ask you to partner with him. And as you look around this map, where are you at? Where do you have a heart for people? Maybe you live in one of these faraway counties. We want to know that. We want to know where you live. So that if you're part of this next thing, we know where we can start planting. So, on the back of this, simple stuff on the top, right? Your name, your phone number, your address, your email. But I want to focus on this bottom part for a minute. For 3 weeks now, we've been talking about this, and I hope you guys have prayed through this. I hope you've fasted or spent some time alone with God or whatever it is you do to get close to God. And maybe your answer is this very top box. I am confident God is calling me to go church. If that is, check that box and place it in one of the baskets on the tables on the way out the door. That's Abraham's hard yes. I'm going. Maybe you'd like a little more information, and the second box is yours. Yeah, I feel God talking to me. What's it look like? Send me some more information on that. Check that box and place it in the basket. We're going to have a follow-up meeting. We will be getting a hold of you. Anybody that showed interest at all, we will get a hold of you and have a follow-up meeting and answer some questions and start doing this thing together. If your answer is this third box, I do not feel led to be part of the Go Church, but will continue to be part of what God is doing here at CCW. God bless you. If God is telling you don't go, please do not go. There will be voids here when people leave. God is asking you to step up here. It's a great place to do it. But you're not out of the woods. You better be praying for us. You better be praying for those people who are going because they're going to need it. We do this in community, and we know God's in charge. And if the last box is yours, I feel led to stay right here, but I can give some money. I can help fund some of that. It's another option. They're going to need some of this. They're going to need resources. But I want to touch on this Dave Pardue thing for a minute. It struck me around the staff this week that many of you people are new here. Many of you guys are here in the last year or so, and you don't know that name. And we say it as if it's commonplace here, but he was our senior minister for more than 30 years, and the guy poured into our lives. And so I want you to do me a favor real quick. Would you raise your hand? Take your hand up to God. Okay, all of y'all just committed to going to Go Church. Thanks. I told you guys this would be easy. But take that hand. I want you to look at your fingerprints. Look at that hand. Look at those fingerprints. You know, there's never been another set of those ever exactly like yours. Yours is the only one that has ever been. 7 billion people plus live on this planet, and billions before have come and gone. And your DNA is only yours. There has never been another exactly you. And so when 5 or 10 or 20 years or so come from now and they no longer say your name around here, what will they feel in your legacy? What do you want that proverbial dash on your headstone to say? Will they feel your fingerprints? Will your DNA be in the next Go Church? Because I can tell you, we are this church in part because of guys like Dave Pardue said, it's not about me. I will go. I want to show the love of Jesus to a new place. And here we are in a little community that used to be a little camping community. And now look around this room. That's a fingerprint. And while we don't say that name every day anymore, we certainly feel its DNA, don't we? And we're better for it. Where's your part? Where's your fingerprint going to land? Will you be fearful and comfortable? Or is it okay to get out of that comfort zone a little bit? So, I want to end this sermon by talking directly to our enemy. Now, we don't give him a lot of credit around here, but we have one, and he hates us. But I want to tell you something, Satan. We are coming. The Satan that's in Crystal River trying to cause problems, we're coming. And to the enemy that's in Homosassa Springs, we're coming. And the one that's in Hudson, Florida, Mazarktown, we're coming. And you should not be afraid of us. You should be afraid of who we're bringing. And his name is Jesus Christ, and I'm not afraid to go because of him. So, my question is this, what do you want your fingerprint to be? If God tarries and does not come back soon, will we have another 2,000 years? Because we were here 2,000 years after 11 guys on the side of a hill said yes, sir, to Jesus' command. And we're not fearful, and we're not comfortable. Let's leave a fingerprint somewhere else. Would you guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. The joy to know that the great I Am also says, call me Dad, is a beautiful thing. God, get us out of our comfort zones. God, the ones that are called to stay here, make them stay. Put it on their hearts to stay here and do great things. But those that have a heart for your people, that are hearing your people's cry, God, put it on their hearts. Let us be bold because you are bold. Let us do crazy things because your logic is not our logic. And when you do the craziest things on earth, God, we know only you can do it. And I thank you in advance for what you're going to do in the next Go Church, because I know you're already there making it happen. Let us just be useful. Call us partner. Get us out of the way of what you're doing, God, but let us be part. And God, will you encourage us by showing the end results to us when we see the victories, when we see the things you've overcome? Remind us to take a victory lap when you do those things. God, I love you. I love you for these people in this room. I know you're working on some spirits right now. We get to go because of you. You're sending us. We're special because of you. You're going to give us the talent, and you're going to make a way beautiful. I'm so thankful that I get to call you God and I get to call you Dad. And I most importantly want to thank you that I get to pray through a name of Jesus Christ, the reason why we're saved. Amen.